Hey there, Bahamas. This is Juan McCartney, and I would like to wish Guardian Radio 96.9 FM a happy 10th anniversary. They've been going strong for 10 years now, straight from the beginning, and we only think things are going to get better as we continue to grow. Once again, happy anniversary.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
The Revolution with Juan McCartney is sponsored by Commonwealth Bank, Burger King, CFAL, Ross Electric Motors, Fidelity Bank Bahamas, Wendy's, J.S. Johnson, NUA Insurance Agents and Brokers, Easy Car Sales, Comfort Suites, Reef Rescue Unit, YKS Fashion Center, Margaritaville, Island Pay, and the Insurance Commission of the Bahamas.
Afternoon, Bahamas. Welcome to the Revolution here on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. My name is Juan McCartney. So good to have you with us. All right, we got a couple of things going on in the country today. Got a lot of cultural stuff. We also got a lot of pocketbook issues in terms of the government's pocketbook, in terms of our pocketbook, the government's desire to reach back into our pocketbook to piss away our money on things that we haven't all had a consensus that we think money should be pissed away on. So we got a lot going on, even outside of the government, right? So fish, the price of fish has gone up. You're going to have fish for Good Friday, right? I'm trying to figure this out, right? How, as a nation surrounded by water, where the coastline, I don't think, is more than a couple of miles away from any point on most of our islands, except, say, Andros, but they have wetlands and mangroves. How is it that somehow fish is a luxury to us? Like, how come fish is this, like, special thing all the time when they've been there for billions of years? We just imported cows and pigs maybe a couple hundred years ago, chickens. None of this stuff is indigenous. Iguanas. You can eat iguana? No? I don't know. Donkeys. We brought the donkeys, right? They weren't just here. Flamingos. We can't eat them either. Parrots. You can't eat them. Are they endangered? Why can't we eat them? Is it that they're attractive, so we don't eat them? We don't really eat pigeons or seagulls. Anybody had seagull? No? Okay. In any event, I don't understand how fish is a luxury that we all gotta hustle toward the ocean to go get it, as if swimming and going out on a boat is some mystical art that has to be passed down in order for you to understand how it works. It's a pretty common occurrence for a lot of people. We really should invest more in people fishing and going out to sea and all this other stuff like that. Even on sloops. Anyway, not going to be here tomorrow. And we're closed on Friday, closed on Monday. We'll be back on Tuesday. All right? Tuesday. Oh, this says it is art passed down. How many divers, you know how many divers get the bends annually? Man, I ain't talking about going that deep to go scuba dive, to go, y'all just go that deep for fish? How deep you could go before you, right? Bends, don't they just put lines out? Is anyone going in the deep, deep, deep water to go find conch? And lobster? Don't they just put the traps out and the conch's like, you go Ragged Island, go walk out into the ocean and grab some conch. But it does. It's an art, sure, but it's not some art that, you know, only the seventh son of the seventh son can understand, you know, how it works. It can be taught. Swimming, diving, all this can be taught, right? If you can learn to somewhat drive a car, as most of you have learned, then you can learn how to go fish. You go fish off the dock. I go fish off Montague Dock. They tell me you're not supposed to do that. I go do it. I don't care. It's the ocean. God put that there for us to enjoy. Okay. We got a couple of things going on. And we... Fish is a commodity. Is it? Is it? Seriously? It's a commodity? So the tourists who come around their yacht and, like, stock their freezer for the next 6 months, like, it's a commodity? Anyway. All right, so we got a couple of things going on. It says Bahamians don't eat mud gut and durgeon. I feel you, too, because I'm picky about the fish I eat as well. But if that's all that was going on, I'd have to just eat what was there. I gotta get off chicken and red meat. I gotta try. Do fish. Be a pescatarian. Can you eat eggs if you're a pescatarian? Anyway. Okay. A couple of things are going on. So the NIB thing is going on. Okay? We're gonna talk about that. Oslo Rota, just putting that out there. NIB is going up. What I'm amazed by is the number of people who are going, yeah, well, you know, got to go up. I'm like, what? Seriously? It does it? Like, because he said so? Or can we actually see the actuarial report and look at all of it before we say it's got to go up? What I love, right, is the irony in that none of the people who are making these decisions on behalf of the government of the Bahamas would dream of handling their personal finances the way they so blithely spend and disregard our money. So we've had this conversation many times where I say, you always come to me and you tell me, well, there's a debt problem, right? And so then the taxes have to go up, yes? And you come to me and say, there's a problem with the electricity company, and so the rates need to go up. Well, there's an additional problem with the debt for the electricity company. So now there's got to be a rate reduction bond on that. Yeah? You come to me and say, well, you've been contributing to NIB all your life, but because of how it's been managed, it's not sustainable. We're going to blame it solely, it appears, on the COVID-19 pandemic. And we're going to just say any wild thing that comes to our head and go, well, it has to happen. You need it. Like, seriously, would you handle your company's finances that way? Would you handle your personal finances that way? Keeping in mind that it's not apples to apples and a government isn't a personal finance situation, but just being mindful about your money should be something that is inherent within you, having lived in society for any reasonable period of time, right? So the conversation just skips over what happened to the rest of the money. Well, what happened to all the money I gave you before, right? It's like, let me not get in trouble for the holiday weekend. It's like when you guys give your wife money to go to the store. Y'all aren't married. Someone out there knows what I'm saying. This has never happened to me. But when some men give their wives money to go to the store, first of all, don't ask for no change, bruh. Right? If change come back and they put that on the dresser, that's a blessing. You thank God for that. But you ever had your wife go to the store and you give her money and then she comes back and says, well, I need more money to get access. And you go, and this is what you're afraid to ask because you know you're going to catch it. Well, what did you spend the other money on? And so I'm told. They look at you like, are you insane? I said, I need more money to get stuff to take care of you. And there's no logic or reason or anything like that. It just is what it is, right? And that's how you're running the government of the Bahamas. We're just supposed to go, oh, what happened to the money before? Ah, don't worry about it. What are you asking questions about? Why do you want to see records and balance sheets and audits? What are you talking about? I said we need more money. All right? So NIB needs more money. So Mazel wrote a suggestion, or according to him, the board, which I haven't seen any audit, is that we're going to increase NIB by 1.5% within a year. So within a year, your NIB contribution is going to be 11.3%. All right? And I'm going to have to just guess, because he didn't explain, half of the new, it's going to be split, the new part, between the employee and the employer. Right? He also says, without any sort of data or anything, and you got people going, well, if you need the money, you need it. No. Hold on. So it's going to be 11.3% within a year, and you say it's going to rise every 2 years. So let me figure out the point. So it's at 9.8 right now. So we're going to 11.3. That's certain, right? So that's in a year. So that's now. So in another 2 years, okay, we're going to add another 1.5%. So it's going to be 12.8% in another 2 years. You haven't explained to me yet how much money that means and what's going to happen with that money and what you're going to do with it and what kind of reform you're planning to implement. All right. So another 2 years is 12.8. In another 4 years, it's 14.3. In another 6 years, it's 15.8%. In another 8 years, it's 17.3%. And in another 10 years, it's 18.8%. So it's going to be almost double what it is at the moment in another 10 years. Yeah. So double. And you're not saying it's going to stop. You have no idea when the increases will stop. We've been told none of this. And people are going, well, you need reform, man, if you don't stop talking garbage. Explain to me what's happening with NIB's finances in minute detail, please. Right? This isn't your private piggy bank. So, I'm sorry. I know we don't want the Social Security Fund to collapse. None of us does. But you're going to have to explain what happened to the other money beyond the COVID-19 pandemic. Because I don't recall you spending no $1.6 billion on the COVID-19 pandemic. So explain to me what happened to the money. Explain to me where it is we're going. And let's look at some different things. Maybe we eliminate some stuff. The provision that 60-year-olds could start drawing down some of their NIB. Maybe that goes out the window, right? Let's look at some of it. So before we just go, yeah, well, it got to happen. No. No. For me and my money, I need explanations. All right? I elect nobody to go, well, it is what it is, and we got to, What? What are you talking about? Anyway, that's NIB. We'll get back to that. So Miles Verlora has no idea when your NIB increases will stop, and now we're going to, we could in a decade, real talk, I'm not being hyperbolic, you could have a situation in a decade where you're taking out roughly 8% of the salary that you've earned, giving it to NIB, and the employer's having to come up with, let's say the employer takes the lion's share, the employer comes up with the 10.9% or whatever it is, and they're just going to have to take that out of their profits, out of their revenue. And nobody says that may not be a sustainable thing. Go to any business owner right now and ask them what their profit margins are. All right? I don't know how the numbers industry works, but for the vast majority of businesses, the profit margins are not huge. All right? 10% would be solid. So when you start just making announcements, you got to take into consideration all the circumstances. I get it. You got to do what's necessary. But before you pull that trigger, explain to me what we're doing. It's like if I took money out of my paycheck to pay my kids' college fund, right? And my wife was sending money out of her paycheck to pay our kids' college fund. And I go take our kids' college fund and go, well, you know, we'd like to go to Disney World. and we want to see China, yeah? And we need a new car, yeah? And I'm gonna lend my brother some money because he needs to build a shed and buy a lawnmower. And when time comes for, like, the kids to go to college, I'm telling my wife, or like a few years before the kids have got to go to college, I'm telling my wife, we got to pay more. We got to put more in the college fund. It's not going to be sufficient. And my wife goes, well, what happened to the money that went to the college fund? Don't worry about it. Don't worry. Should I not account for my stewardship of asking her to contribute money? Of my own contribution? I should, the government of the Bahamas that contributes tens of millions of dollars in NIB a year, it doesn't want any accountability? I don't get it. I don't get this rush to go, yeah, it's got to be done. Okay. We'll see how it all works out. The road hasn't even brought this to cabinet. I talked to more than one cabinet minister, and they said that he has said that he has a paper to present to cabinet. But this is not before cabinet. And we're going to go find the prime minister shortly and understand what's going on like that. Let's talk about BPL real quick, all right? Real fast. This is another thing. I keep telling y'all about BPL. And everyone goes, oh, you know what you're talking about? Anton will call, row me. Oh, you da-da-da-da-da. Yeah? We gave up Anton for Lent. I just heard Anton on Jones' show. You know? Like Jones's son. Christian. Yeah, I believe is his name. I know him. He's friends with my cousin. He's doing the show, right? And so he's not yet been filled to the brim with the agony of listening to people who don't make a lot of sense. Not that Anton doesn't make sense. But I just heard Anton on there. And, you know, Anton's not going to change. Like, I'll welcome him back after the break, you know, the Easter break if he wants. But we didn't take a break because I think Anton's going to go repent and be a whole different person. I'm just taking a break because I need a break. And if I tell you don't call me no more, like certain people who continue to call other shows and talk crazy, it's because I know you're not going to change, and I just can't tolerate it anymore in my life. I don't have the space to accommodate other people's nonsense in my life. All right? Don't. I suggest you operate in the same manner. Anyway, so BPL chairman, Pedro Roll. I know you're going to think I'm picking on Pedro Roll, right? Explain to me what has happened in BPL, bro. Pedro Roll says BPL, all right, is now absorbing the cost of fuel to keep the fuel charge low. Okay. And you know, in my heart of hearts, I'm going, great. No problem. I don't want to pay high bills anyway. But let me explain to you why that's not a sensible reaction to this. The last time that the Bahamas Electricity Corporation was made to absorb the cost of fuel in any significant manner, it led to the company having to be bailed out by the government of the Bahamas, having to be restructured by the government of the Bahamas. It led to rolling blackouts summer after summer after summer, which peaked kind of like after 2010. This is not a sustainable strategy for BPL. So let me help you. When BPL hedge was 10.5 cents, right? The cost of a gallon of fuel was 60 bucks, right? Maybe less. Because of a gallon of barrel of oil, sorry. Now barrel oil was going for over 100 last I checked last week. So when fuel was last at the price that it was, now the fuel charge was over 20 cents per kilowatt hour. The fuel charge has gone as high as 27.5 cents per kilowatt hour. Remember when them BEC bills were crippling y'all? Your belly start hurting, you get your BPL bill. You try to figure out, I can do peace this week and go try. Sell off one kidney and deal with the rest of it. So they, after Whitney Hastie came out and said they're having to increase the fuel charge because of the price of oil, and they made him retract that. Then Pedro Rolle came out and said, well, the fuel charge wasn't affecting cost savings, but the fuel charge still is in place because the fuel charge thing's a contract with the IDB. That's supposed to be 5 years, right? So what he's saying now, and he won't explain how much this costs, he's saying that BPL is now absorbing much of the cost of fuel to keep the fuel charge low. And as I said, that's in my heart of hearts, paying a bill, I'm like, great. All right. But I remember what happened. When BPL has to absorb, okay, let me put it like this. BPL spends about $250 million a year on fuel. Okay? They are supposed to pass that through to the customer. I'm going to read to you the law about it. They're supposed to pass that through to the customer. When BPL starts absorbing the cost of fuel and can't recoup that money from customers, BPL doesn't have money to pay for maintenance, to pay for transmission and distribution upgrades. The maintenance of the engines that BPL has costs millions of dollars a year. You have to fly people in. They have to order parts, all right, to the tune of millions of dollars. They take the engine offline one by one, take it apart, replace whatever's worn, put it back together. It's a very intricate process. It's nothing light, right? BPL's not doing maintenance, as I understand it, because BPL's absorbing the cost of fuel. If you don't service your engines, they're going to break down, which is the problem we had before. All right? BPL's got a new turbine at Blue Hills. They got the Wärtsilä plant. Other than that, they need to make sure those engines are being serviced. And that's not happening. So what we're going to see soon is the government and BPL saying, have you heard this before? Let me know if this sounds familiar, this song, if you heard this tune before. I'll hum a few bars. So what you're going to hear very shortly, well, first of all, it's likely that we'll experience blackouts this summer, because engine maintenance is not being done, as I understand. It's not being done up to now, as I understand it. Not on the engines that are burning just Bunker C. So what you're going to experience this summer likely would be blackouts. I hope not. But as I said, you may have heard this tune before. And BPL is going to come to you first and say the government has to absorb or refinance or back one of their plethora of options, BPL's debt, right? Because BPL is going to get into a cash position with all of its vendors if it's not there right now. It had reestablished some credit, but I don't know if it's back to a cash position now. And a cash position at your vendors means we're not doing anything unless you give us cash up front. You're not on credit. We're not going to send it to you and bill you and try to collect. It's not going to happen. Ask the people who were at BEC before if I'm making this up. Okay? And they're going to say, we need more money from the consumers of the government utility monopoly to keep it running. And you're going to look at me, and I'm going to ask you, well, what happened to all the money before? What happened to all the procedures and rules and regulations that you changed to make this thing sustainable, that we spent hundreds of millions of dollars on over the past decade? What happened? And they're going to look back at us the same way that some of your wives look at you and go, what the hell do you mean what happened to the money? We spent the money. We need more money now. And you're going to have to go squeeze blood out of stone to try to find it. Y'all play a lot of games in our administration. and then try to make people feel stupid when they ask you questions about your stewardship of our money. So you're not going to have me go, yeah, pay national insurance. You do what you want. No problem. You want to grab your ankles and deal with whatever comes? Go right ahead. Me? Not going to happen. And you're going to be mad at me because you're like, well, what do you want? Answers? Yeah, I do. Yeah, I want to know what's going on with BPL. I want to know what's going on with NIB. All of it. I want to know all of it. Tell me. Don't just say on the side, oh, NIB is going to increase to whatever we imagine it should be. And that's just what it is. It's not good enough for me. All right? BPL, the word for today is generator. Okay? Pandemic's been rough. Maybe you can scrap together some credit. Generator for the summer. I have one, and you can't come by me. We gotta take a break? Let's take a break. We'll be right back.
When you testify in court, you're expected to tell the truth. Same goes for your insurance application form. If you don't answer every question truthfully, you could be found guilty of misrepresentation. Leaving out just one piece of information on your insurance application can lead to misrepresentation. That means your insurance company could deny your policy or refuse to pay your claim. This message was brought to you by the Insurance Commission of the Bahamas, protecting the interests of policyholders.
Burger King Nassau is bringing you the delicious taste of Philly cheese in three mouth-watering varieties. Enjoy the great taste of Philly cheese with your choice of flame-grilled beef, crispy chicken, or try out BK's plant-based beef version. BK's Philly cheese has all the fixings you love, including lots of melted cheese, caramelized onions, bell peppers, and mushrooms on a sesame seed hoagie bun. Try the new Philly cheese as a combo or as part of the King's Feast at any of BK's seven locations. Burger King Nassau, where taste is king.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
I used to think of the bank as my personal ATM machine. If I wanted a new car, new furniture, a weekend trip to Miami, no problem. Just max out the credit card or top up my loan. I was a big baller until I realized that 75% of my salary was going to pay back all those loans. Fidelity's personal financial coaching was the best solution. Fidelity gave me a plan with a debt consolidation loan that has a built-in savings that pays 5% interest. I now only have one low monthly payment, plus money in my pocket. Give Fidelity Bank a call at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit any of Fidelity's locations or visit a website at fidelitygroup.com.
You do coffee your way. Double shot, decaf, cappuccino.
Light roast, Colombian, no milk.
You do vacations your way.
Hiking boots, tent, mountains.
Five-star hotels and theater.
And now you can do insurance your way.
Online.
Email.
Chat.
WhatsApp.
Or in branch. For home, car, travel, boat, or business insurance, do it anyway with NUA Insurance agents and brokers. Visit NUAinsurance.com, call, or stop by a branch today.
Breakfast just got better at Wendy's. Introducing the Breakfast Biggie Bag. Enjoy a double sausage muffin with two square sausage patties, a freshly cracked egg, and cheese served on a toasted English muffin, a medium waffle fries, and an orange juice for only $5.25, fat inclusive. Add an apple pie for just $1 more.
Say what?
At Wendy's, better breakfast is all day. Offers valid in participating locations. Wendy's, different inside and out.
J.S. Johnson Insurance agents are the best. Reliable service, we've been on the scene, protecting since 1919. J.S. Johnson Insurance has the test. Always, you're always covering me. J.S. Johnson Insurance, peace of mind.
If you think you can't afford to dress to impress or replace those utensils or maybe even upgrade your household appliances, then you don't know YCare's Fashion Center. With three locations to serve you, YCare's Fashion Center features the things you need or want, all at a price that you can afford. Open Monday through Saturday, 8:30 a.m. to 7 p.m., YCare's Fashion Center also has the island's largest jean collection. Put the fun back in shopping and visit your favorite YCare's location today, where you can afford to look good.
You've heard of electric cars. Now it's time you drive one. Easy Car Sales welcomes you to experience the power and prestige of the latest electric vehicles. Plug in at home for an 80% discount off your gas bill and never get stuck at the pump again. Build your dreams of a better future with a better car, the BYD EV. Visit easy242.com to book your free test drive today. Save your money while driving in style, only at Easy Car Sales.
This Easter, it's more than just a brunch. It's a taste of Margaritaville. Join us this Sunday from 11:30 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. for live music, unlimited mimosas, and a full buffet display from Margaritaville's restaurants. Brunch with us for just $85 per person. Kids under 12 eat for just $25. And kids under 5 eat free. Complimentary garage parking, VAT and grats included. Make your reservation today at 603-8400 or 698-0624.
This is Kendini Campbell Moss, and I'm wishing Guardian a happy 10th anniversary.
Welcome back to The Revolution on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Clint Watson is telling us to stand by for a response from the Prime Minister on national insurance increase. This, I cannot wait to hear. In the next hour, we'll be giving away also a dozen hot cross buns from Cheesecake Heaven. They are delicious. I have had them before. Give you a dozen hot cross buns. Also, if you need more than two dozen hot cross buns to carry you through, and you don't have a family of more than, say, five, to carry you through to Tuesday, you may have an issue. All right. Prime Minister is going to talk about the national insurance increase. Can't wait to hear it. Love it. To stop being petty, when Ingram, our former prime minister, opened for you guys to freely talk, it was not that Juan owned the Guardian. Answer the phone.
I'm being petty? Why am I being petty?
We got a call. Let's do a call. And then we'll do from there. I'm anxious now. I feel nervous, like I'm going on a date for the first time. I want to hear what the prime minister got to say about national insurance. I feel all tingly. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Hey, Warren, how you doing, my brother?
I'm good. What's going on?
Nice show as usual, my brother. Let me tell you what needs to happen in this country. All the chairman of BP need to be fired. The guy who in charge of the central bank, John Rhodes, whatever, he needs to be fired because. Let me tell you why.
No, man, I like John Rhodes. What do you mean?
No.
Why? Look, what happened?
World Bank say you only can take a 50 or 100. That's wrong. Bank of Bahamas, you can take a 20, 30. That's wrong. That's wrong. He ain't doing his job. He's not doing his job. They're killing the small man in this country. Everybody who had these departments, who are doing the job, but if Martha, send him home. And then the rest who go there will want to start doing the job. See, be getting tired. These people mess up. Everybody who the attorney general office could cost them pay with money, send them home because they know what they're doing.
Okay.
Warren, you can't keep running the country like this. Warren, if you do a job about it, Guardian, with the fakes, they're going to get rid of you and Dwight. They mean, those are doing things what they're doing in the private sector. They're doing it because you're home. Somebody's not be tired. I'm trying to take my call, my brother.
Okay, fair enough. I don't know that that rises to the level of John Roll for the denominations that the bank gives out. That seems incredibly, like an incredibly minute detail that John Roll should be concerned about. Let John Roll go watch our foreign reserve and monitor our monetary policy so that we don't all spin off into the abyss. I'd appreciate it. All right, let's get some text messages. I can't wait. I'm standing by, Clint. I'm gonna read you the law in a minute about the what's wrong with the phone line. I'm gonna tell him call. They can call you if you can see it. I can't see the phones. Says hello, Juan. Can you find if NIB is gonna pay out tomorrow, please? Since Monday's a holiday and the payment goes out by Monday for Tuesday, thanks. I can try. You know, I don't know that I've ever gotten a dime from NIB. Have I? I don't think so. I think my wife got NIB when she gave birth. Yeah, I'm pretty sure that happened. But I don't know that I ever got any money from NIB, personally. My mom got money when my dad died. My mother got the least amount of NIB you could receive. They had businesses. They paid other people's NIB, and so in their retirement, they'll be able to get more benefit than my mom got. And I'm going to help you, man. You know what you get from NIB? And even if you don't contribute, and I'm not knocking it, It's something, particularly if you didn't contribute, but it just speaks to, you know, where we are, and that NIB should not be your retirement plan. All right? My mom got $375 a month. Okay? That didn't cover her medication. She had one of the most expensive medications. Let me not say that. I've seen super expensive medications. She had pretty expensive medication, just one of them. And it wasn't until about 3 years ago that they added it to NIB's like list of prescription drugs for the benefit. And I had to like go hustle to get it every month. Every month. And what's messed up is I didn't even know that NIB added it until I took my mom to see the rheumatologist when she was very ill. And he goes, and I go, okay, well, let me know. I'll buy it here. And he goes, no, NIB covers it. I go, for real? Did you do the phones? I gotta do the call. No? It's just blinking in here. Anyway, it says, call out the NIB list of investments over the past 20 years. Yeah, they need to let us know what's happened like that. What's happening? It says, fish is expensive due to cost of inputs and preference of fish type, supply and demand. Yeah, I think that's right, yeah. Because I was looking at my son's social studies book, and did you know there's like 8 different types of grouper? Like, but we want the Nassau grouper? It says, we don't fish farm like Asians, so we depend on a small number of specialist people. Yeah, probably. So those who agree that NIB contribution should go up, I think they mean the NIB payouts, not the NIB contribution. I mean, I see several people in, I think, the Tribune business section are like, yeah, NIB got to go up. I'm like, is that it? Is that the extent of the conversation we're having? You got to go up. You got to go up. I see. You got to add value out of tax. You got to add value out of tax. It's around Nassau, you got to go 10 miles plus because so much is fished out. Guys run to Berries and Andros. Oh, okay. That's where the sweet spot is. It says, LOL, you got a friend with a wife like that, right, Juan? Not you. It's a friend. Pay's cleaning out the dog out. Watch out, Rain. Coming, friend. No, no. I want peace in my house. I'm not talking about my wife. I want peace in my house over this long weekend. This says, thank God you didn't do a Clinton leave. No one else will say these things. This profit margin for gas stations is now 8.5% on gas. I'd have to do the calculation, because if it's 50-something cents and they're charging $6, then you may be right, actually. This is one. It says iguanas and seagulls can eat. You can eat an iguana? I felt bad about eating lizards previously, and I don't think you can eat Komodo dragons, but I watched a special about Komodo. Do you know Komodo dragons, like, eat, like, cows whole? Like, they swallow them? Like, they unhinge their jaw like a boa constrictor and just gulp it down, like hoofs and all? It's wild. One, this NIB saga is all nonsense by LaRota. Isn't this the same administration that when they took office just approved payments of $10,000 unverified pensioners to the tune of $8 million per month? How do we know these are not dead persons whose kids are getting the pension without verification? Good question. NIB efficient to me, because my mom was receiving her NIB contribution up until the month she died. And the next month, surely NIB money did not hit that bank account. Probably because I said that out loud and someone did it. You know what I also heard? We got to go to a break. I heard I got people in trouble when I said they didn't charge me VAT on my BPL bill. And I'm sorry, y'all are going to be mad at me. They went back. Someone at BPL heard that, and they started checking their system, and thousands of people, they didn't add VAT to their account. And they had to go back and put the VAT on, right? Actually, don't blame me, because you was going to owe the VAT anyway. Best you pay it now. You don't want double VAT next month. But yeah, they I don't know how that works. Just add that. It hits the threshold. You add the VAT. Anyway, we got to go to a break. We'll be back.
Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Girl, you see how Cora eye look funny, all black up yesterday?
But she say she bump into a wall when she's running after the churn them.
Yeah, but last Saturday, you see her arm was all black and blue, right?
What you saying? You think something wrong between her and Jack?
I ain't sure, but you know Jack is a jealous man. I hear him and Cora last Friday. I hear him say he hear Cora have eyes for Junior.
Now, you know that ain't true. Cora is a good woman, does mind her business, take care of them churn, and go to church every Sunday. So what you think we should do?
I think we should report Jack, you know. Cora don't say nothing, but silence hides violence, and we don't want to line up in the cemetery.
Not me. I ain't getting in nobody business. Then Jack come after me and I line up next to Cora.
No, man, we could call or text Crime Stopper. And remember, we can even get some grocery money for our tip.
Remind me again how this work.
We can call them in Miami at 328-TIPS or 328-8477. Or when we in the island, call toll free at 300-TIPS or 300-8477. And if you don't have no minutes, use the Crack Crime Bahamas app and we could text them. And the messages get on mix up before it leave your phone. So nobody can know what you're saying.
So what are we waiting on then? Let's go earn some grocery money.
Happy 10th anniversary to the Guardian Radio family, celebrating 10 years of fresh news, smart talk, public opinion, national discourse. Congratulations.
We'll be right back.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the revolution here on Guardian Radio. 96.9 FM. My name is Juan McCartney. It's so good to have you with us. We don't know what's going on with the phone line, but we do want to give away a dozen hot cross buns. And we are trying to fix it right now. This is important. Somebody's going to have a good Easter. Is it doing that same thing out there, or is it just me? It is? Oh, so it's just, we got to find Wally. Got to call Wally. Okay. Anyway, the Prime Minister has released a message. Let's take a listen to it together. I have not listened to it. This is the first time I'm hearing it, but he just released this. It's a video message. We doing it? Let's do it. Now the iPhone doesn't work. There we go.
Let me say, I know what the Bahamian people are experiencing. These are difficult times, and it will be a last resort for me to put any more burden on their backs. The actuaries over the last 10, 15 years have been predicting that the fund is jeopardized because of us not having raised the contributions to NIB. Recommendations were being made from 2003-04 that we should raise the contributions. Yes, we are at that watershed moment, but I am not going to, at this time, put any further burden on the Bahamian people. We'll see how we could be innovative and creative to ensure that we do not do such or embrace such an initiative until we have brought the relief that is necessary to allow that to happen. The Minister of State in my office was just speaking the facts as what was said in the actual report. They are recommending and they are urging that we do so. And as was his duty, he's bringing that report to Cabinet for us to look at it and discuss it. We will consider it, but insofar as what my views are on it, it's not going to happen, not now, not until we have brought the relief to our Bahamian people and we have put to bed some of the issues that can't make them sleep when they go to bed.
All right, that was Prime Minister Brave Davis, and he's saying, nah, that ain't gonna happen right up and now. That's my prime minister. That's my prime minister. You got any more yellow shirt? I know you got a couple. You know I'm talking to you. It's a new day. See why I ride with Brave? You see? Now you see. Right? It's my man of business. He understands. Ain't no more. Right? Let's get the economy humming. Let's get people back up on their feet. NIB gonna be okay. We can work this out. Ain't no need for Miles Lerota to give people the belly out here about NIB. Brave gonna work it out. Brev, listen, where he running? Cat Island? Boy, if I could live on Cat Island, I'd have moved down there just to vote for you. I'd vote for you again. I wasn't in Cat Island, so I couldn't vote for you before, but if you come running St. Anne's, I'll vote for you. Because someone said they gaslighting us. You know what I would do too? And this is why I probably shouldn't be prime minister. I did the bad news, right? I'd have like somebody else give it. And then I'll come in like, I'll have someone to give the bad news. Like Miles Lerota, boy, I'm gonna be going up. Fun about to be broke, son. About 8 years, the fun could be broke, right? I say, man, because that's what has happened with a lot of the young politicians. They go, you know, young cabinet minister, go tell them this, right? And then the prime minister come back and go, no, we're not doing that right now, right? So you can. And then when he ready for it, right? He come back, I give you a break. A homeboy over here was trying to put more taxes on you. You see, I step in and take a break. It's the time come now. I give you a break. I tell you, I wasn't going to do it right now. That's my man of business. Someone says my mic is dead on live stream. Where Wally is? Call Wally. Say the mic dead on live stream? I don't know. I don't do the technical part, you know. I just talk. Anyway, if you want to win a dozen hot cross buns, you can call me. I only got one dozen. I don't have a truckload. It's one set of a dozen hot cross buns. You can call me at 323-6232, 325-4316, and 325-4259. Here's what I want you to not do, though. If you know you are not going to go pick up these hot cross buns from Cheesecake Heaven, then for the love of the risen Savior, as it is the Easter season, please don't call me and tell me you want them and lock out other people from getting hot cross buns. If you're really going to go to Cheesecake Heaven today and go pick up these hot cross buns, let me know. This is no audio. Call Wally. Call Wally. There's no audio on the stream. Yeah. I guess y'all can't call then. All right. So, no, you can't message me on my phone and do it. You got to call. You got to call. I can't do that. I can't be unfair to the people. They got to call the line and say they want hot cross buns. The audio's on the live stream now?
Yes.
Okay, great. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Hey, Warren. How are you?
I'm great. How's it going?
I'm going fine. I want it. Can I go now?
The hot cross buns? What's that? Johnson, okay. Devolia? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm going to write your name. Y'all, do you see the people messaging me on my private phone, but they want hot cross buns? Y'all don't have no conscience? Y'all, seriously? You want to shortcut all the public just so you can have a hot cross buns because you have my number? You think God is pleased with that?
No, he isn't.
You want the hot cross buns? No problem.
Yes, sir.
Hold on. Let me get my pen and write your name down. I'm scared of y'all. So, okay.
What do I do?
Stay on the line.
Mm-hmm.
And how's Dwight doing this? Does he need their number and name? All right, stay on the line, and Arlington's going to get your name and number, and he's going to give it to Dwight. They're working on the sound. Hot cross buns are gone. No NIB Rays. It's a miracle. It's an Easter miracle. All right, so we ain't got to worry about NIB. Great. I would like to see the actual actuarial report. That would be nice. We would like to see the actuarial report. All right, so let's talk about BPL real quick. Are these people calling me, or is this just... You got audio on the live stream now? Good. I know. That's why I call you. I know you get it done. That's why we pay you the big bucks. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Hey, Paul. What's up, brother?
I'm good, man. How's it going?
What do you give out something free today?
Hey,
let's be realistic now, Mr. McCartney. Mm-hmm. One of the best things you can say that most or just about everyone in this country news that they heard was when you played that clip of the Prime Minister, Mr. Brave Davis.
Mm.
I think that's good news for a lot of people, because yesterday people were calling me and asking me, man, what's your government doing? What would they try to do? Kill the poor people? But no, right. Mr. Davis has a heart in particular for the poor people. And I think, you know, putting the politics out of it, we should be grateful to this point, because right now, but we can't take no tax from nowhere.
No.
You know, we even ain't 60% basically up with the economy. So, you know, once things get up and things start to boom again, and you know, one or two taxes, you know, people can live with it, but as it stands right now, we can't take it. And I think that he explained it, that the average person can understand. And you know, I might get condemned for what I'm going to say, but it's a little bit more easier for the average person to understand something, especially when our prime minister, when he brings it forward in a humble tone of voice. But you have a good day, my brother.
Thank you, man. I understand that NIB still has issues. I just would rather the approach that let's look holistically at NIB, look at our options, give the economy some time to really regain at least the rest of the ground it lost, which is probably going to take through the end of the year. But don't just dismiss the fact that NIB does have issues. I still want accountability. I still want to have a Social Security fund. Because dang it, I want my NIB benefits that I've been paying for. All right? I've been working since I was 16 years old. I lie. I've been working since I was like 13 years old. I don't know if they're allowed to like pay your NIB then. I was working for my parents. And before 13, real talk. And I want my benefits, right? It says, Juan, no matter what you say, some woman is going to get mad, be mad at you. Arlington, I'm sorry. What's the date? The 13th? All right. Mark the date. Wednesday, April 13th, 2022, right? We discovered that a man says something and a woman gets mad, right? A human woman. Today's the date. This is a banner day in the history of the universe. Are the stars aligned? Is Jupiter rising? Is Alpha Centauri? Is something happening? A woman's going to get mad at something a man said. That's never happened before. I can't recall that happening in the history of the planet. It says, in my personal opinion, pension plans should be mandatory once you're employed. A portion of your salary should go to a pension fund. However, we have to ensure that this is regulated. Yeah, you could do that too. Absolutely, you could do that. Right? Now, there's a great deal of inherent risk in that, right? Because the one thing you do want from your pension fund is stability. This is one. The United Kingdom, with a population of 65 million, had a national insurance rate of 12% up to March 2022, which was increased recently by 1.25% in April this year to 13.25%. The increase was to fund improvements in their national health service. Of note, UK citizens, employees, and employers do not pay a separate national health service rate. It's one rate for the NHS and national insurance. Now, compare that to the Bahamas, with a population of 400,000 and a combined national insurance rate of 9.8%, with an impending rate hike and the government plans to implement an additional rate for national health insurance. We're just a mere 3.45 percentage points lower than the UK's combined rate, but the benefits are far, far less. I do not like increasing this social tax without outlining corresponding benefits and the lack of transparency in how our national insurance contributions are deployed. It's not just right. You make a good argument, except I would say that we now pay for our healthcare plan through taxes other than the taxes that come out of our paycheck. Now, if you say to me, right, here's where we can talk, we can party. If you say to me that you're going to increase the rate you take out of my paycheck, and this is the same concept as income tax. If you say we're going to increase the rate you take out of your paycheck, but this is going to fund a dramatically improved single-payer national health insurance plan, as well as your Social Security benefits, we could have that conversation. But yeah, that's a good analysis, I think. and says, "What? No, brother. I wakes up early in the morning to go to the store to keep that food bill tight." You don't let her go, eh? Yeah. You know, and women, this is what I've heard, has nothing to do with my household at all. Like, they discover stuff in the food store that you didn't know was there, right? Like mint chocolate cashews. Like, this is a thing? Yes. Indeed it is. Mr. McCartney, I feel this government in particular, because they ignored our wishes and legalized gambling, feel they can do anything to us, and we will accept it. No, that was Christie then. Can't put Christie on Brave. I mean, not completely. Good afternoon, bro. I agree with you. He drop out of the sky and toss NIBs going bankrupt in a few years, but they're hiring friends, family, and lovers in top positions and big salaries. NIB is poorly managed. When are BPL and water and sewage in Bahamas Air going to carry their weight? We're wasting NIB money. Privatization is what's needed. Can't afford to pay more. Okay, it says, hi, Juan. Whatever happened to all the talk about bringing in the floating power plant? Well, I don't know. Good question. So say one, the government needs to show the people that they can manage NIB properly first before they raise the rates, because we may end up back here in a few years from bad management. Now, I don't know that that's fair, right? So I don't know that. Let me think through this. There are several aspects to management at NIB. So in terms of the people who are running NIB on a day-to-day basis, yes, it could be improved, but I think their management has done well, particularly when it comes to me. I go in there and I have no issues whenever I went in there, but maybe that's just because it's me. In terms of the government of the Bahamas appointing successive boards to deal with policy matters at NIB, I suppose we could take a critical analysis of that and maybe see where that has hampered the National Insurance Fund. So certainly we could look at the management aspect, but I'm not going to put like on the director of NIB. It's her fault or his fault that NIB's up the creek. So Juan, can you choose a backup host when you're off? We'd rather that than a rerun. I'm going to have Ken the Neek going to be here tomorrow, Ken the Neek Moss. So Juan, could you please explain to me how many Bahamians do not put money toward their retirement pension, but the government does? That's insane. Tens of thousands of them, right? Tens of thousands of them. All right, so not only is the government employing these people and paying NIB, the government also has thousands and thousands of people who are permanent and pensionable, and they're contributing to their pensions. And for a time, I think that was a sound policy. I don't know that that serves our interests as a nation any longer. Not just the government paying the pension. Says Juan, bumping up the NIB rate to 10%, 6% employer, 4% employee may be feasible, but LaRota and actuaries need to make a case for it. The public needs to know why this is necessary and how this will make the fund more sustainable, stable. Exactly, and that's exactly what I was saying. You know? Like, I'm going to give you the money. It's not like I have a choice if you do raise the rates, but I want to understand what's going on. All right. This person is cursing y'all out. They said y'all weren't answering the phone. I guess it would be on me now. I hope you don't call me these sorts of names. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Good afternoon, Juan. How are you today?
I'm great. How's it going?
Blessings, Easter, to you and your family.
Absolutely.
I would like to say, and I was holding on, I'm very patient and I ain't got nothing else to do. Okay. I got plenty of time on my hand.
Great.
But I want to say this. A lot of times we bash the prime minister. When I say we, you know, I'm talking, you know, nationally, whomever the prime minister may be of the day. But I want to, from my personal view, I want to commend the prime minister. I heard today on the snippet that he put forward a very compassionate person, a very compassionate gentleman who was speaking from his heart, whether it was scripted or not, but I believe it comes directly from his heart. Mm-hmm. And that is what this country needs. We have not had such a very long time, and I want to commend him. And I just want everybody who lives here in the Bahamas, let us continue to love each other, work together, and pray for our nation. Because if we don't put God first, then we ain't going nowhere. But I commend the Prime Minister.
Absolutely. Thank you. I. And I appreciate your message, too. It's a nice Easter message. Good afternoon. Welcome to the Revolution.
Hello, Warren. How are you doing?
I'm great. How's it going?
Just the Rota man, I don't believe he's know what he's talking about, you know. National Insurance, they say he's supposed to have over $1 billion in reserves. Well, if they get out of money, how they could go break one?
Man, they can spend that.
Paul Sipman, man, with one under disaster reconstruction, he make a bunch of a blunder down there. He gets something to do with Saturnus, and he get National Insurance. They need to take some of them focus. I think he get too much pain to deal with. And really just going around making false alarm. That's what I think you're doing.
It was ill-advised for him to just bring that up like that.
I think the charity is not to just tell him anything and don't tell him the right thing.
Yeah.
Because 2 years' time now, there'll be 50 years since National Insurance started. You could tell me now, they only had one rate increase. They said it was 8.7%, now it's 9.7% from 2010. You could tell me, from the time you started working, Warren, didn't after so much years go by, you see that your what you have to pay National Insurance increase. So that means that the rate increased from over the period of time.
Mm-hmm.
But he makes you believe that they only had one rate increase from National Insurance. That's what he said this morning. From National Insurance started. That's false alarm, man.
Well, I appreciate it, and I'll move on. I'll say a couple of things to that. The first thing is, a rate increase isn't something that must happen because the rate remained low over a period of time. Okay? So 8.8% or 9.8%, sorry, it was 8.8, and the 1% was for the unemployment benefit, right? But wages over time have increased. And so the amount of money that NIB collects has also increased. So you don't necessarily have to make the argument that, because we haven't had a rate increase in 50 years, we now have to have one. The argument you need to make is, why is the current rate not sufficient? What's the reasoning behind it? Because I don't know that the argument has to be, well, it's due for a rate, because it didn't happen if it didn't have to increase in 100 years if it was being run correctly. And also, what I would say to that, and we got to take a break, is that they have increased, Ingram started it, as far as I'm aware, they've increased the wage ceiling. So they've increased your taxable income every 2 years since 2010. It's not a ton, but that was supposed to have provided some cushion. I know the pandemic happened, I know other stuff happened still. But you just saying, well, we haven't had a rate increase in 50 years doesn't really compute to me in terms of that's a necessity, because wages have increased over the past 50 years. And so you're still collecting money on 8.8% of what's increasing. All right, we got to go. Let's go to a break. We'll be right back.
Of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
You do coffee your way. Double shot, decaf, cappuccino.
Light roast, Colombian, no milk.
You do vacations your way.
Hiking boots, tent, mountains.
Five-star hotels and theater.
And now you can do insurance your way.
Online.
Email.
Chat.
WhatsApp.
Or in branch. For home, car, travel, boat, or business insurance, do it anyway with NUA Insurance agents and brokers. Visit NUAinsurance.com, call, or stop by a branch today.
At Ron's Electric Motors, they repair and rewind all major brands of electric motors, including water pumps, generators, and generators back end, welding machines, electric lifts, air compressors, battery chargers, and more. They're equipped to handle up to 850 kilowatts and rewind up to 450 horsepower motors. They're conveniently located on the corner of Wolf and Clarence Roads and are open weekdays 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturdays till noon. They offer 24 hours emergency assistance. You can reach them at 242-356-0249.
Fidelity, we're good for you. We know how important collecting your money can be to the success of your business. Start your relationship with Fidelity today so that we can show you the many options available to you with our merchant services. From click and pay options online to merchant terminals and e-commerce options. We're here to help your business succeed. For more details, speak to one of our business development officers at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit our website at fidelitygroup.com or visit any of our branches.
Hi, I'm Shavar Gulang, the host of ZLive. I'm wishing Guardian Radio a happy 10-year anniversary. What a contribution it's made to the public dialogue in our country.
Good afternoon. Welcome back to the Revolution here on Guardian Radio. I'm just chopping down the NIB thing. I'll wait on the BPL. It'll again pop back up. I'll be here. This is the last independent audit of NIB. It was 5 years ago. I'd have to take your word for that. I'm not certain. Does one sound like you're killing those chips? No, I was eating ice. Says, good day, I've been working over 25 years. Should I stop paying NIB and do my own investment, even if it's very late? Two things about that. If you stop paying NIB, you're going to get hauled before the court. You don't have a choice, as long as you're working, but to pay NIB. And the second thing is, you should have always been trying to do a secondary investment for your Social Security. Absolutely. And it's never too late to start, but that's something you should have done. Started 25 years ago in tandem with the taxes you're mandated by law to pay. Juan, imagine where some of these old and sick people would be if we didn't have, where some of these old and sick people would be if we didn't have NIB. While some things need to be fixed, getting rid of or stop paying NIB is nonsense. I mean, listen, We complain a lot, Bahamians do. We critique a lot, Bahamians do. Now, my philosophy is this. You have got to criticize your own actions, how you move through the world, the decisions that you make. That's what any reasonable person does. As far as the government is concerned, it is reasonable to question what is going on with the money XYZ. However, you also, when criticizing yourself and criticizing the government, have to step into reality and understand why you don't have to spend the rest of your life on your knees thanking anybody. You do have to realize that your position is, by and large, still better than the vast majority of people in the world. All right? I'm not saying we should just be grateful for that and bend over groveling, but the majority of people in the world do not have Social Security benefits. They will work their entire lives, and when they are old and sick, charities will try to help them, families will try to help them. Most of them will die poor, all right? Broke and uncomfortable, without medical facilities, etc. So I'm appreciative of the fact that we have a Social Security system. I'm appreciative. I thank Sir Lyndon Pinling. I thank the late Sir Clifford Darling, all right? I thank Ingram, who was minister in charge of national insurance for a time. I thank Christie for keeping it going. I know they've all made some decisions we wouldn't necessarily agree with. You got to even thank Minnis. He didn't crush it. If you could just give him credit for not, like, driving it into the dirt. So I'm thankful that we have a Social Security system, very much so. Does that mean I'm just gonna be like groveling and thanking everybody for the rest of my life and not actually saying that I want accountability for the money that you demand that I pay into this system? So we're gonna have that conversation, but at the same time, I do recognize that not everybody in the world has Social Security benefit. In fact, the majority of people in the world don't. And I know we're not talking about, if we're not talking about these countries where everyone's broke and we're not like that and the Caribbean's different. I agree, but still. Since I agree that there needs to be better management of government finances through taxation, etc. But I have a very basic question. Where will the government funds come from to maintain the level of social support that the government is providing, including the same NIB benefits you're asking for one? It's easy to say we're not going to burden people today, but what happens tomorrow when the reality of limited government funding and finances come knocking? And this is absolutely, absolutely right. Right? It's absolutely right. So for you saying that you want to understand, like, what the plan is, right? Because, okay, you're saying today, we ain't going to pay for it today. That's fine, but tomorrow's coming. I completely understand that. And there does need to be a plan. So, but let's first start off by making the actuarial review public, table it in Parliament. Let's understand what's going on. Let's have some good public education about the state of NIB. And let's see what plan you can formulate, because we understand that it may be coming sooner rather than later, and some things may change. Let's see what it's looking like, all right? For you to go to cabinet briefing, yeah, NIB going up. So, and it could keep going up until we figure out what it is, the point at which we want to stop. That's not how you have these conversations to me. It says, want to help people that put the wrong name on their forms. That's why they didn't get the benefits. So many things Bahamians don't do why they don't get their benefits. If the law under NIB that you have to apply within a year, you can't come 14 months later. Yeah. Agreed. It says, Juan, we still have to collect the outstanding bills that people owe NIB. Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. Let's go to phone line. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Yes, good afternoon, Mr. Cotney.
Hey, how's it going on, man? How's it going, 52?
Yeah, the thing is, this is a great conversation. And so, to me, right, you have a doctorate in critical thinking. And the thing is,
thank you.
This show, and I listened to you, and I arrived at some of the same conclusions you did. And so, firstly, I agree with you totally that the staff at the NIB shouldn't be blamed, because we know that the government, that it was always used by both parties as a thrust front, right?
Yeah.
And so the fact that you mentioned that the people there are not to be blamed for the mismanagement. So to say that and just castigate or just make that imposition that everybody is the place being poorly managed, then we know that it's being used as a slush fund by various governments to fund various projects. And I don't even know how they use the money. I don't care. But what I'm saying is about just before the pandemic, you remember I called you and me and you had a conversation about the NIB not being sustainable without with the non-contributions by government workers. I mean, you had a conversation about that about 1-2 years ago, before the pandemic.
I don't recall.
So we know it was not sustainable, Mr. McCartney.
Mm-hmm.
So this, you don't need to have a GC or some degree to see that this is not sustainable with non-contributions by government workers, which in the government is a large, government employs a large amount of people. So this is not, this conversation is, this is nothing new that Mr. LaRone is mentioning. And so I personally know him.
But why do you think
I know him to be a sincere.
Why are you saying government workers don't contribute to NIB?
That's what I was told, that they don't make contributions.
Absolutely.
The government contributes.
The government does and they do. That's the law. Now, but they don't make contributions to their own pension plans.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. Yeah, right. The pension plan. Yeah, yeah. The pension plan.
Okay.
And so the fact that he, I like for Mr. LaRone to provide or to document, right, the difference in income for the national insurance, but you don't have to necessarily disclose by figures, but you could disclose by percentage the difference in contributions before the pandemic and post-pandemic and during the pandemic and see how the income has reduced. And so, of course, we know that obscurity, right, convolution, subterfuge is an integral tool of politics. Have a good day, brother.
Okay. Hello.
Yeah, yes. Mr. McCartney.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, and you mentioned my name the other day when you had my favorite Dr. Archer and Dr. McCullough on.
Right.
And you said I mentioned about the vaccination with the menstrual cycle and the lady was upset. I don't know why she would be upset.
Right.
She didn't go, but I'll explain it to you later. But I did answer, you know. I said one word, prostaglandins, because I didn't have the time to really explain it on there. Maybe you should look into it. I could explain it later. Or somebody else should mention it if they know about it. It's located in every cell. It's a fatty acid. It deals with inflammation. It's a part of the immunological inflammatory response. You know, I don't know if I'm overread or what, but the word exists, prostaglandins. Have a good day, brother.
Okay, bro. I think that women just feel as though that's a personal, like, health issue, and they don't like men weighing in on it, which I get. But there is that out there to support that. I got a lot of feedback from the interview with Dr. McCullough. I got a lot of people who said you should bring on someone to give him point for point. And I wasn't interested in having any debate. As I said, we've had probably over a dozen doctors who are all on the same accord talking about what they're on. And I was interested in what he was saying. And what I got from the interview and what I want, I didn't, there was one question I wanted to ask him, but we didn't have time. And the question I wanted to ask him is, okay, so there's been well over a billion people who've gotten vaccinated, more than that, all right? And the vast, vast, vast majority of people weren't impacted in any measurable way that you could tell, right? But there's a subset of people to whom the vaccine has caused harm. And so what I wanted to ask him, and I think the thrust of what he's saying is that until we know which subset of people are at risk for a great deal of harm from the vaccine, then it's not safe just to give it to everybody. And that's what I got. And so I wanted to know, have we identified what it is about those people in particular who have been harmed by the vaccine that makes them susceptible to that harm when so many people were not harmed in any way that we can tell right now at all? And so that's what I want to understand. And from what I gather from him is, in science, and whatever, vaccination science, I can't remember what it's called, you don't just give something to everybody when you're not sure how it will impact the people who may be at risk. So you can't identify who's at risk and who's going to be impacted. So you don't just carte blanche, give it to everybody. And that's what I kind of got from him. But I enjoyed speaking with him, and I wanted to hear what he had to say. We got to take a break. We'll be right back.
Children are a blessing and should be treated with love and care. They deserve safe, stable, and nurturing relationships, a supportive family environment, and positive social networks. Mothers, fathers, teachers, aunties, uncles, neighbors, Bahamas, let's do our part to stop the physical, sexual, and mental abuse of our children. Make the calls, file the reports, save precious lives. Let's join hands and hearts and say no more to child abuse. This message was brought to you by CFAL, growing wealth for future generations.
This Easter, it's more than just a brunch. It's a taste of Margaritaville. Join us this Sunday from 11:30 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. for live music, unlimited mimosas, and a full buffet display from Margaritaville's restaurants. Brunch with us for just $85 per person. Kids under 12 eat for just $25. And kids under 5 eat free. Complimentary garage parking, VAT and grats included. Make your reservation today at 603-8400 or 698-0624.
You've seen electric cars on the road, but isn't it time you drive one? Easy Car Sales invites you to experience the smooth, powerful ride and immerse yourself in the luxury and latest tech features. Find out why the Bahamas is going electric. Visit easy242.com and book your test drive now. What are you waiting for? Save money, drive smarter. There's an EV waiting for you at Easy Car Sales.
The city of Miami is waiting for you, and Island Pay wants to take you there. Yes, you heard that correctly. Island Pay is giving away 5 priceless trips to Miami for 2 people just for using your MasterCard prepaid card. Every $30 you spend gets you a chance to win, whether it's on groceries, gas, diapers, clothes, gifts, online, and others. It's all counting and getting you closer to an unforgettable experience in Miami. Don't have an Island Pay MasterCard yet? No problem. Get yours today. And Island Pay will give you $15 back. Island Pay, a better way to pay, a better way to win. Promotion running March 21st to May 18th, 2022. Conditions apply. Visit islandpay.com to learn more.
Sensational spring sale at $158 per night, plus taxes and fees for single or double occupancy, with a minimum length of stay of 2 nights. Receive a 4th night free with 3 paid nights. Fully vaccinated guests, per the Bahamas government, COVID-19 tests are not required to enter our hotel property once you are fully vaccinated. Proof of vaccination required. Valid negative COVID-19 rapid antigen tests with test results taken within 3 days of your visit are required for all non-vaccinated local guests. And we're offering free food and beverage credit of up to $30 per day with this sensational spring sale. Redeemable at our Cruisers Restaurant, Splash Pool Bar, and Bamboo Lobby Bar. Maximum of $90 per stay, VAT and gratuity not included. All guests enjoy complimentary use of Atlantis, including AquaVenture Water Park, daily complimentary hot a la carte breakfast, free Wi-Fi, free parking. Kids 11 and under stay free in room with parent and eat free at a Cruzo's restaurant with each paying adult. Face masks are required and social distancing is encouraged. Special rates subject to limited inventory available and advanced booking is required. Call us today at 363-3680, 363-5536, or WhatsApp us at 55SUITE. That's 557-8483. Offer valid April 2022. Comfort Suites, Paradise Island. Comfort Suites by choice.
I'm Trishina Robinson with today's top story. Guardian Radio turns 10. Happy birthday, Guardian Radio. It's been a remarkable decade of highlighting the best in news and information, and the nation looks forward to what the next 10 years will bring. Happy birthday.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the revolution here on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. My name's Juan McCartney. So good to have you with us. Anyway, sorry. This, what does it say? What is so upsetting about a menstrual cycle for females to be upset? Men have daughters too. If something can cause harm, it should be mentioned. Why worry about male or female? It's every month. I love women, so I won them. Oh, this is 52 is what you're saying. Yeah, this is 52. Okay. No, I mean, yeah, you know. Says Juan, the freedom of information from Pfizer is out for everyone to see the cover-up and adverse effects of the vaccines. Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to call it the cover-up. I will say this. The information is out there from Pfizer. There's a lot of documents. But I looked at the consent form for the clinical trials of COVID-19. So if you were 12 to 17, or actually, they didn't test them all at the same time, but if you're 12 to 17, that's one clinical trial. And then if you were 18 and over, there's another clinical trial. So my question would be this. So if you read the, and I'm not going to get too deep into conspiracy. I'm just telling you what is actual, right? And I'm sorry I couldn't get to all your text messages. So if you read the consent forms, even for children as age 12, if you have gone through puberty, and they tell you this on the form. If you're a female and you've gone through puberty to the point that you're menstruating, you cannot get pregnant during the clinical trial. And in fact, when they draw your blood to test you before the clinical trial, they also test it to see if you're pregnant. Okay? And they tell you, you should take birth control or abstain from trying to become pregnant during the clinical trial. They tell men... They tell men that if you are to the point where you are through puberty and you're able to ejaculate XYZ, you should use protection when having sex. So, and I think the doctor had mentioned this briefly. So no pregnant person, no person who admitted at least that they were trying to get pregnant was a part of the trial. So, and it's a legitimate question. And I hate when people make you feel stupid for asking sensible questions. So how then can you tell women who are trying to get pregnant that it's safe for them to take it? How then can you tell pregnant women that it's safe for them to take it? This is, to me, that boggles my mind, right? Because they told my wife she can't eat sushi when she was pregnant. But you could take a vaccine that wasn't tested on pregnant women? Or women who are trying to conceive? There's evidence that it affects women's menstrual cycles? But we're not supposed to talk about any of that. We're just supposed to go, everybody take it, no problem, don't ask questions. We're anti-science, we're stupid. You're not reasonable. Go read it, don't take my word for it, go read it. All right? That's part of the consent form. They take you through all of it. They take you through what they believe are effects and what could go wrong and what could happen. They've documented the numbers of people who have had issues. It's not something you don't just, to me, anyway, do whatever you want. And I did take the vaccine, but to me, sit here and go, well, if you don't believe in science, if you're asking questions, like I got to be a scientist to ask you how you're sure pregnant women won't be impacted by this when you didn't have any pregnant women in the trial or women who were even trying to get pregnant. If you got pregnant during the trial, you had to come out of the trial. This says, is my message reaching the station? Let me see. This says, one, the PLP is the path that takes us to the high heavens. So the PM is throwing another minister under the bus because the minister said most likely will happen when they vote. He said he expects NIB will increase. All right? So... here's what you're not going to do. You're not going to make me think I'm crazy like he didn't say that definitively. And if nobody said it was a definitive statement, then why is the prime minister addressing it? So he said something that the prime minister says he's not interested in seeing that happen anytime soon. Okay? So I'm not crazy. I heard him say, remember we played the audio and I went back over it over and over it? We called him back, the reporters did, to make sure. So, I'm not insane. These are a lot of good texts. I'm sorry I couldn't get to them all. We're going to have to get out of here. Ken and Eek Moss will be here tomorrow. I won't be here. We hope that you have a great Easter, however you choose to celebrate it, whether you're a believer or not. At least enjoy the holidays. It's a good time for reflection. It's a good break from the hustle and bustle of the world if you do get that break. And for those who do believe, have a deeper exploration of your faith. Yep. That's what I'd like to see. Because even we could talk about this another show, probably. And I can't speak for anyone. I can speak for me. I'm not a big tenet of following religious doctrine word for word or step by step that any like organization has laid out. But at the core of me, when I know that I'm uncertain as to what's going to happen, when I think that things are beyond my control, like I go back to my faith in God. And I can't speak for how anyone else does it, but now's as good a time as any to reflect on it. For those of you who are believers or not, believe as you choose. Anyway, enjoy. Have a great holiday weekend, guys. And Lord willing, we'll be back on Tuesday. Be nice to each other out there. Take care, Bahamas.